Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the old Cracker Barrel logo, after this week's unveiling of the new and improved logo, which is both more visually clean and aesthetically simplified. For those of you who have never had authentic imitation Southern food like chicken fried steak or chicken and dumplings served with a side dish of collard greens and a game of oversized checkers, the original logo featured an elderly man in overalls reclining on a wooden chair, leaning casually against a large wooden barrel with the words Cracker Barrel in brown script inside a bean-shaped ellipsoid with the phrase Old Country Store beneath. The new logo has only the words Cracker Barrel in black simplified script inside a yellow hexagon with rounded corners, and we don't like it. We love it. First of all, we, the members of the First United Church of Wokenism, always love any decision which separates people from the comfortable traditions of the past and imposes upon them newer, uglier, less interesting icons. Separating people from the forms they're accustomed to is one of our key methods for destroying the continuity of culture. This is very similar to the move away from classical types of architecture with their intricacy, meaning, character, and aesthetic complexity toward our wokenist architecture, or what some people have lovingly called brutalism, whose only goals are simplicity, functionality, and making you feel like you just ate wheatgrass with your eyes. But if you really want to know whether this was a good move or not, just consider who is upset about it. The same people criticizing this splendidly mundane redesign are the same ones who wanted to keep, and pardon me for saying these hurtful words to you, Aunt Jemima, the Land O'Lakes squaw, and the Washington Redskins logo. Well, if those people hate it, we extra doublethink love it. But just consider what else this new logo accomplishes. They've erased the old man, Uncle Herschel. That means Cracker Barrel is now gender inclusive. They've erased the barrel, a confusing image from a bygone era that probably only made Gen Z kids wonder what life was all about. And they've dropped the slogan Old Country Store, which did nothing but make non-old people feel uncomfortable and gave the impression that rural values are better than urban values, which we all know is just code for white supremacy culture. But speaking of white supremacy culture, as we so often do, are they seriously still going to call it Cracker Barrel? This is the only thing they really got wrong. Going with the black script, excellent anti-racism. Ditching the vestiges of the overalls-clad patriarchy, nice work. But why didn't you complete the conversion to inoffensiveness by simply calling it the barrel for all people? The only thing left to eliminate would be that awful ableist peg game that only serves to make people feel bad about themselves when they can't solve it. Yes, we love the new logo, which is the pinnacle of blandness. It's as flavor-free as the gravy always was. It's a perfect complement to the interior decor redesign, which transforms the old lattice and antiques look into a modern, inoffensive, cream-colored cafeteria style, finally jettisoning all those terrible reminders of a former United States in which the self-reliant farmer wore snowshoes, trapped game, cooked on a cast-iron skillet, used primitive tools to build his own house, and owned livestock. Have you ever thought about just how much of the old decor was either offensive or dangerous? Children invited to play games at an open fireplace? Mounted deer trophies? Rusty saw blades with no safety case or warning label? Dangerous kerosene lamps right on the table? And random guns mounted over the hearth? No, none of this was good. We want people to forget they were ever strong, independent country folk, capable of handling their own problems and growing their own produce, and we certainly don't want to remind them of a time when they were not dependent on government and their phones for virtually everything in their lives. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, Governor Ron DeSantis and the Florida Department of Transportation for removing rainbow street art from crosswalks in Orlando, including outside the Pulse nightclub, and for telling other municipalities they have to do the same by September 3rd.
And we've just discovered that the Florida Department of Transportation, in the middle of the night, ripped the rainbow colors off of this city crosswalk. They illegally vandalized city property.
This all follows a June 30th memo from FDOT to local governments warning them that if they don't remove all non-standard traffic control and street markings, they risk losing state infrastructure funding.
I cannot believe that the DeSantis administration has engaged in this hostile act against the city of Orlando.
The letter specifically warned local governments against having any surface art that is associated with social, political, or ideological messages or images and does not serve the purposes of traffic control. This would include non-message-driven art, creative bike lane markings, and all manner of interesting street murals, including even the now-faded Black Lives Matter mural on A Street in Pensacola. Now, I'll be honest here. We find ourselves a little conflicted on this subject. On the one hand, we know it's evil because DeSantis likes it. That much is easy. Of course, it's also obviously an effort to silence and remarginalize all people of the holy acronym string and all people of color. Of course, I mean brown and black, not red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Certainly, if state police were removing images of the American flag, the military, or some other patriotic or conservative content, we'd be thrilled by it. But on the other hand, the stated reason for this blackwashing of our streets is public safety due to the less reliable road surface, visual distractions for drivers, and information that can confuse autonomous vehicles whose safe operation depends on standardized street markings. And we surely do believe that if something saves even just one life, especially those most cherished of human lives, the pedestrian and the urban non-motorized bicyclist, then it's worth doing. Nevertheless, we are adamantly on the side of those who want to retain the glorious celebration of alternative lifestyles and minority rights which are represented so prominently across Florida in these colorful streetscapes. Whose streets? Our streets. Whose crosswalks? Gay crosswalks. Nuff said. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to recognize the fantastic woke being done in Great Britain by awarding the UK this week's floating tambourine of terrificness with 5 hemp tassels and a single cowbell. This award has been earned most specifically by the brilliant policing done at Dalton-in-Furness during a protest outside the construction site of a proposed mosque. Among the other relatively unnoteworthy messages being chanted, one man uttered what can only be described as possibly the most blood-curdling, most threatening, most vile and chilling comment this theologian has ever been forced to experience. Now keep in mind, I'm only sharing this with you so you can understand the swift police action to remove this man in handcuffs from the protest before things spiraled out of control. I want you to be sure that you're ready before we proceed. Brace yourselves. This is strong stuff. Yes. This filthy, disgusting excuse for a Briton actually said out loud in a sing-song voice, "We love bacon." I know, I'm sorry. It was probably a bad idea for me to even play that horrid, wicked, vile commentary. Certainly you can see why the police had to arrest the man immediately. After all, no person standing outside a proposed site of Islamic worship, Allah be praised, should have to endure such obscene filth. But this is only one incident in a much larger context that we want to extra celebrate. England has been working on a law called the Employment Rights Bill, which recently passed second reading in the House of Lords, that would make it illegal for an employer to allow their employees to endure harassment by anyone, including customers. This brilliant bill actually makes it a crime for a pub owner to knowingly stand by and allow a customer to say anything within earshot of a bartender or server which that employee finds offensive, even if it's not directed at the employee, and that includes jokes and jests. In other words, employers are now responsible for making sure their employees never encounter any speech which hurts their feelings or offends them while at the workplace, clearly setting the bar for punishable speech at the level of whatever bothers someone else. And what could bother, say, a Muslim construction worker more than hearing some contemptible bully sing out his personal affection for consuming cured non-halal meats? We see you, Britain. We celebrate you, Britain, and we adore the way you are raising up a whole generation of citizens whose most highly refined skill is the artful talent for finding things to take offense at. We cherish the idea of a future in which personal woundedness can finally become the ultimate differentiator between acceptable and unacceptable speech acts. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.